ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 29, Part 10, Verses 60 through 65. Narada Muni answers King Prachina Barhi's inquiry. The great sage Narada continued, The living entity acts in a gross body in this life. This body is forced to act by the subtle body, composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. And after the gross body is lost, the subtle body is still there to enjoy or suffer. Thus, there is no change. The living entity, while dreaming, gives up the actual living body, and through the activities of one's mind and intelligence, one acts in another body, either as a god or a dog. After giving up the gross body, the living entity enters either an animal body or a demigod's body on this planet or on another planet. One thus enjoys the results of the actions of his or her past life. The living entity labors under the bodily conception of, I am this. I am that. My duty is this, and therefore I shall do it. So these are all mental impressions, and all these activities are temporary. Nonetheless, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity gets a chance to execute all of one's mental concoctions. Thus, one gets another material body. One can understand the mental or conscious position of a living entity by the activities of two kinds of senses, namely the knowledge-acquiring senses and the executive senses. Similarly, by the mental condition or consciousness of a person, one can understand his or her position in the previous life. Sometimes we suddenly experience something that was never experienced in the present body, either by sight or hearing. Sometimes we see such things suddenly in our dreams. Therefore, my dear King, the living entity who has a subtle mental covering develops all kinds of thoughts and images because of one's previous body. Take this from me as certain. There is no possibility of concocting anything mentally without having perceived it in a previous body.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Gadadhara Srivasa Adigo Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. The living entity has two kinds of bodies, the subtle body and the gross body. Actually, one enjoys through the subtle body, which is composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. The gross body is the instrumental outer covering. When the gross body is lost or when it dies, the root of the gross body, namely mind, intelligence, and ego, continues, bringing about another gross body. Although the gross bodies apparently change, the real root of the gross body, the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and ego, is always there. The activities of the subtle body, be they pious or impious, create another situation for the living entity to either enjoy or suffer in the next gross body. Thus, the subtle body continues, whereas the gross body changes one after another. Since modern scientists and philosophers are too materialistic, and since their knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy, they cannot explain how the gross body is changing. The materialistic philosopher Darwin has tried to study the changes of the gross body, but because he had no knowledge of either the subtle body or the soul, Darwin could not clearly explain how the evolutionary process is going on. One may change the gross body, but he or she works in the subtle body. People cannot understand the activities of the subtle body, and consequently they are bewildered as to how the actions of one gross body affect another gross body. The activities of the subtle body are also guided by the supersoul, as explained by Krishna himself in chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matak smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says he is seated in everyone's heart, and from Krishna come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supersoul is always guiding the individual soul, the individual soul always knows how to act according to the reactions of his or her past karma. In other words, the Supersoul reminds one to act in such a way. Therefore, although there is apparently a change in the gross body, there is a continuation between the lives of an individual soul. Although the root of distress and happiness is the mind, intelligence, and ego, a gross body is still required as an instrument for enjoyment. The gross body may change, but the subtle body continues to act. Unless the living entity gets another gross body, he or she will have to continue in a subtle body or a ghostly body. One becomes a ghost when the subtle body acts without the help of the instrumental gross body. As stated herein, Shayanam imam utsrijya svashantam. The gross body may be lying on a bed or resting, and even though the machinery of the gross body is working, the living entity may leave, go into a dream, and then return to the gross body. When one returns to the body, one forgets the dream. Similarly, when the living entity takes on another gross body, he or she forgets the previous gross body. And so the conclusion is that the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and ego, creates an atmosphere with desires and ambitions that the living entity enjoys in the subtle body. Actually, the living entity is in the subtle body, even though the gross body apparently changes, and even though one inhabits the gross body on various planets. All the activities performed by the living entity in the subtle body are called illusory because they are not permanent. So liberation means getting out of the clutches of the subtle body. Liberation from the gross body simply involves the transmigration of the soul from one gross body to another. And when the mind is educated in Krishna consciousness, or higher consciousness in the mode of goodness, then one is transferred either to the upper heavenly planets or to the spiritual worlds known as the Vaikuntha planets. One therefore has to change his or her consciousness by cultivating knowledge received from Vedic instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the disciplic succession. If we train the subtle body in this life by always thinking about Krishna, we will transfer ourselves to Krishna Loka after leaving the gross body. Thus, the change of the gross body is not very important, but the change of the subtle body is important. The Krishna consciousness movement is educating people to enlighten the subtle body. And the perfect example in this regard is Ambarisha Maharaj, who always engaged his mind upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Sabai Manak Krishna Padaravindayo. Similarly, in this life, we should always fix our mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, who is present in his Archa Vigraha, or the incarnation of the deity in the temple. And we should also always engage in Krishna's worship. If we engage our speech in describing the activities of the Lord, and our ears in hearing about Krishna's pastimes, and if we follow the regulative principles to keep the mind intact for advancing in Krishna consciousness, then we shall certainly be elevated to the spiritual platform. Then, at the time of death, the mind, intelligence, and ego will no longer be materially contaminated. The living entity is present, and the mind, intelligence, and ego are also present. When the mind, intelligence, and ego are purified, all the active senses of the living entity become spiritualized. Thus, the living entity attains his or her Sachit Ananda form. The Supreme Lord is always in his Sachid Ananda form, but the living entity, although part and parcel of the Lord, becomes materially contaminated when he or she desires to come to the material world for material enjoyment. For as long as one is absorbed in the bodily conception of life, his or her activities are performed on that platform. This is not very difficult to understand. In the world we see, every nation is trying to supersede every other nation, and that every man is trying to advance beyond his fellow man. All these activities are going on under the name of so-called advancement of civilization. There are many plans for making the body comfortable, and these plans are carried in the subtle body after the destruction of the gross body. It is not a fact that after the gross body is destroyed, that the living entity itself is finished. Although many great philosophers and teachers in this world are under the impression that after the body is finished, everything is finished, this is not a fact. Narada Muni says herein that at death, one takes his or her plans with one, griniyat, And to execute these plans, one gets another body. This is called Punarbhava. When the gross body is finished, the plans of the living entity are taken by the mind, and by the grace of the Lord, the living entity gets a chance to give these plans shape in the next life. This is known as the law of karma. As long as the mind is absorbed in the laws of karma, a certain type of body must be accepted in the next life. Karma is the aggregate of fruitive activities conducted to make this body comfortable or uncomfortable. And we have actually seen that when one man was about to die, he requested the physician to give him a chance to live 4 more years so that he could finish his plans. This means that even while dying, he was thinking of his plans. And after the man's body was destroyed, he doubtlessly carried his plans with him by means of the subtle body, composed of mind, intelligence, and ego. Thus, he would get another chance by the grace of the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul, who is always within the heart. In the next birth, one acquires remembrance from the Supersoul and begins to execute the plans begun in the previous life. Situated on the vehicle given by material nature and reminded by the Supersoul within the heart, the living entity struggles all over the universe to fulfill his or her plans, thinking, "I am a Brahmana. I am a Kshatriya. I am an American. I am an Indian," and so on. All these designations are of the same essence. For there is no point in becoming a Brahmana in preference to an American, or becoming an American in preference to a Negro. After all, these are all bodily conceptions under the modes of material nature. And there is even an English proverb that says, "The face is the index of the mind." If one is angry, then one's anger is immediately expressed in one's face. Similarly, other mental states are reflected by the actions of the gross body. In other words, the activities of the gross body are reactions of the mental condition, and the activities of the mind are thinking, feeling, and willing. And that willing portion of the mind is manifest by the activities of the body. And so the conclusion is that by the activities of the body and senses, we can understand the condition of the mind. The condition of the mind is affected by past activities in the past body. When the mind is joined with a particular sense, immediately it becomes manifest in a certain way. For instance, when there is anger in the mind, the tongue vibrates so many maledictions. Similarly, when the mind's anger is expressed through the hand, there is fighting. And when it is expressed through the leg, there is kicking. There are so many ways in which the subtle activities of the mind are expressed through the various senses. The mind of a person in Krishna consciousness also acts in a similar way. The tongue chants Hare Krishna, the Mahamantra. The hands are raised in ecstasy, and the legs dance in Krishna consciousness. These symptoms are technically called Ashta Sattvika Vikara. Sattvika Vikara is the transformation of the mental condition in goodness, or sometimes transcendental ecstasy. In dreams, we sometimes see things that we have never experienced in the present body. Sometimes in dreams, we think that we are flying in the sky, although we have no experience of flying. This means that once in a previous life, either as a demigod or astronaut, we flew in the sky. The impression is there in the stockpile of the mind, and it suddenly expresses itself. It is like fermentation taking place within the depths of water, which sometimes manifests itself in bubbles on the water's surface. Sometimes we dream of coming to a place we have never known or experienced in this lifetime. But this is proof that in a past life we experienced this. The impression is kept within the mind and sometimes becomes manifest, either in dream or in thought. The conclusion is that the mind is the storehouse of various thoughts and experiences undergone during our past lives. Thus, there is a chain of continuation from one life to another, from previous lives to this life, and from this life to future lives. And this is also sometimes proved by saying that a man is a born poet, born scientist, or born devotee. Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayo. If, like Maharaj Ambarisha, we think of Krishna constantly in this life, then we will certainly be transferred to the kingdom of God at the time of death. But even if our attempt to be Krishna conscious is not complete, our Krishna consciousness will continue in the next life. If we rigidly follow the principles of meditation upon Krishna, there is no doubt that in our next life, we will be transferred to Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna Bahir Mukha Hoy Boga Vancha Kare Nikatastha Maya Tare Japatiya Dhare. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the supreme enjoyer. And when a living entity wants to imitate Krishna, he or she is given a chance to satisfy one's false desire to lord it over the material nature. That is the beginning of one's downfall. But as long as one is within this material atmosphere, he or she has a subtle vehicle in the form of one's mind, which is the stockpile of all kinds of material desires. And such desires become manifest in different bodily forms. Thus, Srila Narada Muni requests the king to accept this fact from him because Narada is an authority. The conclusion is that the mind is the storehouse of our past desires, and we have this present body due to those past desires. Similarly, whatever we desire in this present body will be expressed in a future body. Thus, the mind is the source of different kinds of bodies. So if the mind is purified by Krishna consciousness, naturally one will in the future get a body that is spiritual and full of Krishna consciousness. Such a body is our original form, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. Every living entity is constitutionally the eternal servant of Krishna. If a person is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he or she is to be considered a liberated soul, even in this life. And this is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikilasu api avastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. One who engages in the transcendental service of the Lord in body, mind, and words is to be considered liberated in all conditions of material existence. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We must teach people to absorb themselves always in the service of the Lord, because that position is their natural position. One who is always serving the Lord is to be considered already liberated. The devotee is therefore above the three modes of material nature and is even transcendental to the Brahmana platform. A Brahmana may be infected by the two baser modes, namely Rajoguna and Tamoguna. The pure devotee who is free from all material desires experienced on the mental platform, and who is also free from empiric philosophical speculation or fruitive activity, is always above material conditioning and is always liberated. Recorded December 30, 2023 by Nirantaradasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunath Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna
Namaha.